Welcome to Bounce Back. My name's Yvonne Fletcher from NY Events and you're listening into DRN1. On Bounce Back today, we're talking about Fringe World and I have with me Foxy Curves. Hello, Foxy.
Hi, how are you?
Very well, thank you. Should I say Foxy Curves or is Foxy just okay?
Oh, either. Foxy, Foxy Curves. It's a household name.
Foxy, you have a couple of shows coming up with us at NY Events. We've got Carnival in the Hills, which is another thing we're doing for Fringe World. And we've got a hub called Supercalifragilistic. At Kalamunda Hotel, you're coming in to do what show?
I am bringing Fatal Femmes out to Kalamunda Hotel.
Oh, I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, it's a show that I wrote specifically for Fringe this year that explores the golden era of Hollywood's femme fatales and brings them to stage with a burlesque lens because that's my jam. And, it's going to be very fun, very glamorous, very Hollywood. So we'll bring a touch of sparkle to the Kalamunda Hotel.
Love it. This will be your third year with us.
Yep.
And I loved the first time that we ever worked together. You guys have delivered every single time. And so how many performers do you have coming in this time?
We have 7 performers in our Scarlet Bell troupe and they'll all be performing at Fatal Femmes. So, it's exciting. The very first year we were with you was the very first Fringe show that I ever produced.
Really?
So now this is my second one and I'm so excited to bring it out again.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. And you do such a good job.
Thank you.
How long have you been a burlesque dancer?
Oh, I've been doing burlesque for about 8 years now. I had a bit of a break in the middle. I've been working with Scarlet Bell now for 6 years.
Yep.
And that's my burly fam. That's my peeps. And with my co-director, Ellen Tice, we run Scarlet Bell Burlesque. And, it's an awesome time. Ellen and I started burlesque at the same time. So we've known each other for our whole journeys together. So, yeah.
It's really good collaboration when you find someone that you just love and you can work together and just bounce ideas. I know that from Nicole and myself. It's always good.
And you
good
couldn't energies. Do it on your own.
No.
No, you couldn't do it without them. So,
definitely not, because life gets in the way.
Oh,
you know, I know that you've got a busy career outside of burlesque and being like we're both mums as well.
Yeah, and Elle just became a mum. She had a baby in late last year. Without that support of a partner, it's just things wouldn't happen the same.
No.
And it wouldn't be as fulfilling though too.
No, true.
You know, it's so nice to do it with a friend.
Yeah. Because you can go through the highs and lows together.
Absolutely.
And when you go through the highs, it's elation, isn't it?
Uh-huh. And when you go through the lows, you're able to work through it because you're both on the same page.
Yeah, troubleshoot all
exactly.
the way. What's one of the things that you've taken from being part of Fringe?
I think the connection with the community has been the biggest thing. Getting to meet our audiences, which is something that as much as we get to do that throughout the year at the other shows that we have, Fringe audiences are different. You know, they want to talk, they want to get to know the performers and the people behind the shows, and it just opens you up to a whole nother set of conversations and connections. And I mean, without Fringe, I wouldn't have met you guys.
Yeah, very
you
true.
You know, so connections like that, and then throughout the year working together and collaborating, and it becomes about so much more than just Fringe. It becomes a part of what you're doing all the time.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
What made you produce this sort of show?
So I have always been really fascinated by the golden era of Hollywood and actresses like Rita Hayworth and how just sexual they were on screen without taking off an ounce of clothing. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to bring that into burlesque because obviously in burlesque we do take off clothing. And we wanted to work with that and bring this you know, sexual bombshell off the screen and then put her in a burlesque line and then just mix the two together. And it just fascinated me being able to do that. Kind of like, you know, what would these characters be like off the screen, behind the scenes? And it's just kind of a fantastical kind of idea of what they would be like.
So which Hollywood stars can the audience see that night? Is that okay to ask?
Oh, absolutely. It's on all of our posters, so that's fine. Look, we have I have Lila Sin, who's one of our troupe performers. She will be bringing to the stage Mildred Pierce.
Mm-hmm.
We couldn't do a femme fatale show without Mrs. Robinson from The Graduate. So our Mistress Mustang will be embodying Mrs. Robinson. I will be bringing to the stage Rita Hayworth's character Gilda from the movie Gilda. So, yeah, there's a huge variety. We've gone from Hollywood films from the 30s right through to the 60s. So we've really hit that early, early era of Hollywood. And, we can't wait to perform it.
Foxy, when you do this, do you watch the movies and gain all the inspiration you need, then create the show that you've created?
Yeah, very much. So I started by a lot of research and shortlisting some films that might have been suitable. And originally, like right at the start of my research, I went right back to, defining what a fatal femme was, and then back to femmes of history like Lilith from the Garden of Eden. And coming right through mythology and stories and all of that. And I decided on the Hollywood era because it was just so rich. Yeah. And there's just so much potential there with costumes, with characters, with just so much glamour. And it was very different to the last show I produced, which was about criminals. So it kind of stuck in there. And then I shortlisted the films that I wanted to see. There were about 20. Watched them over a couple of months. And then out of that, I picked about 10, and then I matched them up with the performers that I knew that I wanted in the show, which was from our Scarlet Bell troupe. And then I gave everyone their performer, and I had a spare couple kind of tucked away in case, there wasn't an inspiration there for someone. But all of the performers have run with it so well and, have really created some magic out of their characters.
Oh, that sounds awesome. When you did this, how long did – I don't know. I know you said a few months, but how long did it take to actually produce the whole thing?
Well, it's kind of still in progress because yep. it's a daily thing at the moment. I probably started with a list of Fringe ideas just after last Fringe, because Elle and I take in turns. We produce each year. So last year, Elle produced our Weird and Beautiful show, and I had a year off. And then this year, I knew it was my turn, so I had to be on the ball. Probably from about February, March, I started with my list of fringy ideas, which just comes out of this book that I have. And then it wasn't until June, July that I actually committed to an idea. I had a lot of problems committing to one idea this year.
Yep.
So, once that was locked in, then it was just full steam ahead from that moment. So, yeah.
When you're saying you've got a book, this is your own personal book,
yeah,
isn't it?
Is this
like
mine.
A journal of ideas?
Yeah, my brain is very overactive, shall we say. And then, anytime I have an idea for a routine or for a show or even for a theme for one of our student showcases, I pop it in the book and highlight. If it's a solo one, it's highlighted orange because that's my colour. If it's a fringe idea, it gets highlighted pink because that's the colour of fringe. If it is a student showcase idea, it gets highlighted red because that's our, like, Scarlet Bell. We work with Scarlet as our colour. So that way I know when I'm flicking through the book and I'm like, oh, I need an idea for the student showcase. I flick through and I'm like, oh, yes, that theme, that'll work. So I've got them there at my fingertips. So if I'm bored and go, oh, I want to create a new routine, I can look through and look for the orange ones. And, yeah, it helps
that.
Organise them.
I like that you've colour-coded.
Oh,
really
everything
smart.
In my life is colour-coded.
It's terrific. Have you always been a creative, like, all
yeah,
through your life?
Yeah, yeah, my whole life. I've been musical since I was very young, was always doing music, even playing in the recorder band at primary school.
Yeah.
Because we had a recorder band and we played all different types of recorder, and it sounds really nerdy now, but it was the best time. And then when I got into high school, I started learning instruments and went through uni, did some musical theatre. Did some more musical theatre out in Kalgoorlie with Stage Left when I was teaching out there, and then come back to Perth and discovered burlesque, and haven't stopped since.
That's really fun. Tell me how people can find your shows.
So if you search for Scarlet Bell in the little search box on the Fringe World app or in the website, our two shows will come up because we're doing Fatal Femmes at Kalamunda Hotel. We're also cruising out on the Crystal Swan. And then we're doing another show, Nerdlesque, at the Rubik's Bar. So you'll find both of those there. Otherwise, we're on social media, on Facebook, Instagram, at Scarlet Bell Burlesque. And I do all of the socials for the studio. So there's usually something happening on our socials, in our stories. So, they can find us there too.
That's fantastic. People can also find you in Supercolourfringealistic. That's a hub page, and it's very easy then to find the links to.
Perfect.
Yeah, which is great. Yeah, I like that.
Yeah.
Much, much easier. Focusing on your creative talents here, the first time I ever heard you sing, you blew me away.
Thank you.
I was like, oh my gosh, is there anything this woman can't do?
Oh, there's quite a few things I can't do. Yeah, singing was something that I've always kind of done just in the background, never had any training in or anything, and I always did choir and stuff, but I thought I was just average. But when I combine it with my burlesque, it has a whole new thing that comes out on stage, and it's the most incredible feeling. So
it's a new level.
Yep.
The first time I think I heard you sing was at the Variety Talent Show last year. And that was our first produced show for Fringe as well. Mm-hmm. When I say ours, NY Events.
Yep.
This year we're doing it again, and you're actually going to be our MC, aren't you?
I am. I'm so excited to host it. I had the best time last year performing, and meeting the other performers backstage was just so much fun. And then I got through to the final and met more performers, and it was the best time. So I'm really, really happy to be hosting it this year, and I can't wait to see what variety talent you guys have got in store for us.
I can't wait either. Last year I found that, I know that you said, collaborating with the different performers, because it was a variety talent show, we had such a mixed bag of people.
It was incredible, yeah.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
There was everything from twerkers to ukulele players to burlesque performers to comedians to magicians. It was mind-blowing how much talent was out there.
It was great. And everyone came together. It was just such a good vibe in the back room. And the audience were really on board with it.
Yeah, and everyone was just so open. Mm-hmm. I know when I saw the ukulele players, because when I meet people that are outside of the burlesque scene, sometimes they're a bit wary of us because we're a little bit over the top. But they were great. They were like, come outside, take photos. And I had my feather fans, and they were like, oh, let me hold it. They were just so beautiful. So, yeah, it was so lovely.
It was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I think one of the things as well is because it was audience involved as well, same as this year coming up.
Yeah.
Audience gets to vote, and then we get five of our acts that go through to the finals.
Yeah.
Everyone gets involved. Yep. And a lot of fun.
Yeah, so. Definitely. And that whole onus is on the performer to entertain.
Definitely.
And I think that, it's our obligation as a performer. We're not just there for ourselves and to empower ourselves. We are, but we're also there to entertain an audience.
Yeah.
So I really love that you guys have brought that into, the whole circle of it, that the audience then decides who moves forward and then decides who wins. It's great.
Yeah, it is a lot of fun.
Yeah.
So I think acts, I know acts get 5 minutes each for this. Audience gets to vote for five, or they vote for two people, but the top five get through to the finals.
Yep.
You can find that on the Supercolourfringealistic page on Fringe World, and come along. It's a lot of fun.
Oh, it's going to be a blast.
One of the things I was talking to Cameron the Magician about and previously is the fact that we need people to buy tickets.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that we look forward to as promoters, producers, presenters and artists is when you see tickets purchased, it's elation, isn't it?
Oh, it's the best feeling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we need people that are proactive, because when people pre-book, they also look forward to what's coming up, don't they?
Yeah. And I think a lot of people are really hesitant at the moment with the climate of, how the world is. But my advice would be lock it in early.
Yeah.
Fringe has got stuff in place. If the world closes down on us like it did last Fringe, the Fringe World team have got things in place already. So as much as it's a commitment and it's like, oh, what if it doesn't happen? Chances are it probably will.
Mm.
And if it doesn't happen, and then Fringe will sort it out. So, I've put my faith in that system. I've got tickets to 11 shows already. I've locked it in, committed, put them in my calendar because I want to get out and support the artists.
Yeah.
The whole arts industry was so heavy hit the last 2 years, and the best thing we can do now is get out and support it and support a range of artists.
Yeah.
Not just burlesque, but comedy and dance and theatre and everything as well.
Yeah, and Fringe is a really good time to stretch yourself.
Absolutely.
And to grow. And if you want to experience something new, it's a really good place to go into something, and very affordably. I've never found anything overpriced during Fringe. It's usually underpriced in a lot of ways.
Yeah, you get some bargain shows.
Yeah, yep. And you go and you get a taste for something new, and it expands your mindset, expands who you are.
Yeah.
But as we were just saying, by booking it and preparing for something, you look forward to it. If you leave it to the last minute on the day, chances are you're going to be going, oh, I'm too tired, I can't be bothered.
There's always an excuse that comes up. Yeah. Life gets in the way. And
so then, don't do it. No. Lock it in. Yep. Put it in your diary.
Yep. Now is not the time for commitment issues. Get in there now.
Especially before our borders open, because once they open, that's going to be quite hard to
navigate. Week of Fringe after the borders open. You know, we do have interstate artists coming in, but with that comes in, and you know, not just with the artists, but with the travel comes in the risks.
Yep.
So, you know, I know all the shows I've bought tickets to, most of them are before those borders open.
Yeah.
So I can enjoy it while we've got that freedom.
Yeah.
So.
Mask free, everyone.
Oh, yes.
We've just had some mask wearing times, and I really want to start seeing someone invest. It's a great idea. I just don't have the time to do it myself. I want to see some clear mask, you know, so that I don't know if you can get fabric like this. Like it'd be like Glad Wrap.
Yeah, it's a tricky one, because with the clear mask or like a clear PVC, I know a few mask makers have tried it for the hard of hearing communities.
Yes, that's
for lip reading and everything. Mm. But the problem comes with the hot air that we're expelling fogs up the mask.
Yeah.
So because it doesn't breathe at all, whereas with a cotton at least it breathes. So there's definitely a balancing act there. But I think it's something we can do better for accessibility with our masks. Definitely.
I've seen a few people with hearing impairments struggle with that. And I think we are all visual anyway. When we're communicating with people, we look at people's faces. So hearing someone is not just hearing with our ears, it's with the facial expression and everything else. So I do think there's someone, please do something good.
Oh, absolutely. I felt like when I was wearing my mask, with your mask on and your sunnies on, you feel like you're completely hidden from the world. You could rob a bank and no one would know who you were, because you're just completely hidden away. There's no communication, there's nothing coming through.
It's so true, isn't it?
Yeah, it'd be really difficult, I imagine.
Yeah. And I guess yeah, smile more with your eyes, people.
Yep. Little eyebrow wiggle occasionally, you know, not in the seedy way, but in the "hi, I see you there" kind of way. So, yeah.
Foxy, what is one of the best things you've found as a performer?
It's meeting other performers.
Yeah.
I've made some incredible friends and connections with other performers. And I'm going to say performers, it's everyone. It's artists, it's producers, it's tech people, it's promoters, it's that whole group. And those connections really stay with you. I mean, outside of burlesque and performing, I'm actually quite an introverted, quiet person. And getting to know these people outside of shows and everything, not just lets me get to know them, but they get to know me and the deeper me and the real me, I guess, because, you know, we're all putting on an act on a stage. And that's one of the most fulfilling things. And I think my circle of friends has just grown exponentially since getting involved with burlesque, and then even more so doing Fringe. I think this is the sixth or seventh year that Scarlet Bell's done Fringe now. Mm. And I've been involved every year, and each year it just grows bigger and bigger, and we meet more people. And quite often I'll meet someone while we're out at a show and they're like, "Oh my gosh, you're Foxy." And I'm like, "Yes, hello. Yes, I am." You know, and next time I meet them, I get to do that to them. I'm like, "Oh my gosh, you're such and such." And then we have a laugh, because we're just real people behind it all. Yeah. So getting to know everyone kind of behind the masks and out of drag, we call it in drag when we're all charactered up. So, you know, getting to know everyone out of drag is really, really nice, especially as an adult. You know, making friends isn't easy.
Yeah.
It's definitely helped with that. So
tell me more about being an introvert then as a performer. Yeah. What do you do to ready yourself, because you have to give a lot on stage? So what do you do in that?
Sometimes it involves a glass of gin. Sometimes it involves a few. quite often it's the process of the physical transformation for me.
Yep.
You know, after I'm getting ready and I've pulled my hair back and I'm putting on my wig or I'm popping the glue down on something, that's when that kind of takes over. And then when I look in the mirror and it's all finished, I'm like, "Oh, hello, there you are." You know,
so it's more of a persona.
Yeah, very much so, you know.
Yeah.
And I'm always, you know, saying, even on the drive up here, I was like, "Right, channeling Foxy, channeling Foxy, channeling Foxy," and popped my lippy on in the car park. And I was like, "Oh, hello. Yes, there she is." So it's interesting. You know, as much as I'm introverted, a lot of it comes from a social anxiety. I don't love talking to people, but then Foxy comes out and you can't shut her up.
Tell me more about Foxy then. How did you create Foxy?
When I first started burlesque, I was the bigger performer at the studio body-wise, and I had a lot of negativity thrown at me for that. But then I must have been in a phase where I was like, nah, stuff this. I'm going to go for it. I'm going to embrace it. And then when I was coming up with my name, there were a few that I floated around. And then I don't remember how Foxy Curves came about, but it stuck. And then as I went through as a bigger performer, I found that I was inspiring other people, and I got empowerment from that. I was like, oh, I did it. And then a couple of years ago, I had a message on my Facebook page, and it was from this lovely girl who now I'm friends with, who I used to dance with many, many years ago. And she said, look, you probably don't remember me, but I took one of your classes, you know, when you were first learning to dance, and you inspired me, and I've been through this in my life, and now I want to come back and dance. So she re-enrolled at Scarlet Bell and danced with me, and she's one of the most beautiful people. But it's messages like that that make me go, huh, I must be doing something pretty good, I reckon. Because, you know, you have your days where you're like, nah, you know, our burlesque community is incredible. There's so many people in Perth in the burlesque community, and it's very easy to get in your head about it and be comparing yourself to everyone else's achievements. But we've all got something to bring, and we've all got a point of difference. And I think that's the important thing to grab onto. Not, oh, they're so much better than me. But no, they're a part of my community, and we're actually building each other here. Mm. So, yeah. I think Foxy's definitely helped in that confidence aspect, and, you know, getting things out. And I mean, there's even times in my like real life where I have to, you know, host a show, or I have to, you know, do something at work and do some public speaking. And I'm like, hello and welcome. And it's just the same voice. It's just a different look. You know, it's Foxy's persona, but it's, you know, Kira's presentation.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's it definitely has impacted so many things outside. But finding burlesque was one of the best things that I've ever done. The empowerment and the confidence that's come with that is just, it's mind-blowing. And if I can get that out to other people, then, you know, I'm doing my job.
I think you do a great job, by the way.
Thank you.
when you've done all this stuff, and confidence is something that I struggle with mm-hmm. all the time. So I've got this, you know, what is it called? I can't even remember the name of it now. Imposter syndrome.
Oh, syndrome. Yeah.
Yeah. Massively.
Yeah.
So I get it. But then, I've often said, you know, do you need to develop a persona to get past all that? And obviously you have with what you're doing.
And that's worked for me. I mean, some of the girls, I mean, we got one of the girls in our troupe. We were talking about this the other night at a meeting we had. And I was saying, you know, Foxy and Kira, my real life persona, we're very different people. Mm. You know, Foxy is everything that Kira is not.
Yeah.
And one of the other girls said, you know, and this was Trixie LaRose. She's like, Trixie's me.
Yeah.
Like, that's just who I am. It's just bigger because it's on stage. And Pixie Lust said the same thing. So it's really fascinating talking to other performers and getting their journeys and knowing where they're coming from and going, huh, we are a bit different. But when it all comes out, it all works together so well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tell me something with – and I kind of already know this because – but I guess for the audience, is there an age limit or starting point, or how young and how old can you be to start?
You have to be 18 to start burlesque. Mm-hmm. By its nature, it is the art of tease. So there is, like I said, clothing removal and, you know, things like that that happen. Not in every class, and not especially not as a beginner. You know, when you're beginning, it's more about just knowing your body and knowing how it moves and getting that fluid motion to it. And then as you work through, as far as age limits go, there isn't one. We've got a member of our troupe who's in her 50s, and she's very proud of that and really happy with, you know, getting to learn burlesque, and she just wishes she found it earlier. And that's Mistress Mustang, and she's actually playing Mrs. Robinson, you know, in Fatal Femmes. And we have performers young and old at our studio. We had a couple of young performers join us late last year, 18-year-olds. And they really challenged, you know, those of us who aren't 18. But, it was nice to see that breadth of the different demographics that burlesque can hit, and it's doing the same thing for everyone. It's building confidence, it's empowering them, and it's using the art of tease. So it's what we want to do.
Sounds like it's really empowering as well.
Definitely, definitely.
Do you ever get men doing burlesque?
Occasionally. It's not as frequent, but occasionally we have quite a few burlesque performers in our Perth scene. We've had a couple through Scarlet Bell over the years, you know, not too many, but quite often the burlesque performers will cross over into another discipline. So there's some incredible performers in Perth. Flynn V is a burlesque performer. We've got people like Carl Chaos, who's just mind-blowingly talented, who also does acrobatics and circus and performs drag as Alexis Armstrong as well. Wow. So, you know, there's performers like him, like Matthew Pope, again, you know, acrobatics, just incredible stage presence. And, you know, whether you can put them in a box and say these are burlesque performers, or whether you just say, well, they're performers, you know, the fact that they're multi-skilled and talented really means that they can fit into such a huge amount of lineups. You know, they fit into drag, they fit into burlesque, they fit into cabaret, they do variety, they do stuff that doesn't have a label because, you know, labels are boring. But yeah, so men can do burlesque. I actually have a guy that signed up for my intro class starting soon, which I'm really excited about. So, and he's young as well. He's coming with the 18-year-olds that we have in.
Yeah.
So I'm excited to teach him and to, you know, give him some confidence and, you know, show him what tease is all about.
How can people find your intro class?
They can look on our scarletbell.com.au website. Yep. We have our timetable and enrollments up, and they're actually open now. So on top of that, they're all on our socials. They're on my socials, at Foxy Curves. So yeah, they're plenty of places. So if they
how
just
how many classes
up,
do they do? Sorry to interrupt. That's okay. You. How many classes do you do in an intro?
We usually do one intro class a term, and we have only 12 spots available, and we do that on purpose so we can really focus our attention on those people. We've all been in classes that are really small, really big, and we feel that this is what works best for us.
Yeah, it sounds exciting actually.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome fun. I haven't taught intro for a while.
Yeah.
I tend to work with the advanced end of the studio, so Elle and I have swapped around this term and I get to teach intro, so I'm really excited to, you know, see a new lot of burly babies come through.
Oh, that's so good.
Yeah.
Foxy, remind everyone again, where can they find your Fringe World shows?
You can search up Scarlet Bell on the Fringe app or website. They can find Scarlet Bell on Instagram or Facebook, and obviously through the super califringalistic socials as well. And yeah, hopefully we'll see everyone at a show.
And you can see Foxy Curves at either of those shows or at the Variety Talent Show as well.
Yes, I'll be on the mic, be talking about stuff and doing things. It'll be a great time.
I think you're going to be fantastic.
I can't
Thank
wait.
You. Okay, and we do have some music that we're going to play, and that's to do with your show as well.
Yep.
So we'll let people have a listen to that.
Yeah, sounds good.
Thank you for joining me, Foxy Curves.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
And you've got a Foxy Curves and Yvonne Fletcher here.